Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill today. We're dealing with the subject of the transition of power in Washington for the nation. We're watching the transition from President Donald J. Trump, which was a patriot, which was a conservative, one that led our nation as no other president has in my lifetime. And as I jokingly say, I'm still under 100, and I've seen major, major, major blessings and benefits that God has allowed America to find and have as a result of President Trump's leadership. And as we look at it, we want to remind you, we need to continue to place our faith and trust and our hope in God and not in man. It is very, very clear that we cannot place our hope and trust in man. It must be in God. And as we do, I'm reminded of Psalms 146 and verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. And that's what we need to be reminded today. But what we're doing, we're looking at what Joe Biden has said he's going to do and his track record of what he is wanting to do in the installation of the socialist, Marxist, communist system in America and the evisceration and total annihilation and destruction of the Constitutional Republic that we've known for some 245 years. And so we're looking in the mirror as we look where we're going forward. And as in a car, you look in the mirror to see where you've been. In a moment, we're going to look back at where we've been. But right now, we're talking about where we're going as the President of the United States of America, Joe Biden, which has just been sworn in because my clock says about 3 minutes after 12, and he was to be sworn in at 12 o'clock. But ladies and gentlemen, I was just told, and I think I need to bring this out, it's a poignant point that congressmen would need to understand. The Assistant Secretary of Health that's been appointed by Joe Biden, the Assistant Secretary of Health, is a transsexual. As one person said, he looks like Archie Bunker with long hair and lipstick. That's a stench in the nostrils of God. And I personally don't know how God can bless a nation when its leadership made up of the perverts and the ones that are antithetical to what God says ought to be in leadership in a nation. But Congressman, we talked about before the break some of the things that Joe Biden is going to institute. One of those was the LGBTQ agenda, and we're seeing that with those appointments that he's making of those perverts and transsexuals and so forth. But he's talking about going back into the Paris Climate Accord. He is talking about the $15 an hour minimum wage. He says he's going to halt the XL pipeline. That's the major oil production coming straight through America from Canada, headed for the Gulf Coast. About halfway, a little over halfway finished. He's putting a total stop to that. He's going to do so, he said, by executive order today. So there's 12, 14 things that he said he's going to do today, the balance of the afternoon, by executive order. And then a number of these things he's going to do in the next 100 days. If he stops the oil production in America, if as he said he's going to do, what will that do to the nation's economy? What will that do to the cost of living for the average American? What will that do for the price of gasoline at the pump? Let our listeners understand what we're faced with as Americans just on the economic front with those things.
Well, it's going to be something that, first of all, it's not unknown of what it's going to do to our economy. It's going to devastate our economy. And how do we know that? Because we saw it during President Obama's tenure. We saw where you went to the fillings at the gas station, that gas was almost $5 a gallon, and it was more than $5 in some areas, such as California and some places up in the Northeast. We're going to see a return to that again. We're going to see a return to a stock market which was in malaise. It was not growing. Currently, the Dow Jones is over 30,000 points. Utterly amazing. When Trump took office, it was around 17,000. An amazing growth that we're going to see halted. It's going to stop. We're going to see unemployment increase again. We're going to see it get to the point where we were told that it was the new normal to have high unemployment, to have low wages. And it doesn't matter if Biden is going to try and demand a $15 minimum wage. He can only do that with government contracts. He can't do that, force it with private businesses, especially in the states. The states have to be able to do that. And again, those states have to do it first through the government contracts, government entities, before it can go to the business area. Now, unfortunately, here in Florida, a constitutional amendment was passed, which will gradually raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And we know what that's going to do, because we've seen it in other areas where they have implemented it, such as cities like Seattle and San Francisco. It causes unemployment to go up because that cost of labor is too much for a number of businesses, so they won't hire people. They'll lay them off, and it's going to hurt those who they think is going to need it most. The economic ignorance of those on the left is utterly amazing. It's appalling to me. But it I want to add this, Dr. Youngblood, if I may.
Yes, go ahead.
Things look terrible right now. Things look dark, and as Biden has even said, dark days are ahead of us. And I can tell you, I always, when things do look their darkest, I always go back to one of my life verses, which is Joshua 1:9. Yeah. And it says, "Haven't I commanded thee?" It's a commandment. Yes. "Do not be afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." So despite what this is looking like right now, true believers, Christians, don't be dismayed, don't be discouraged, don't be afraid, because the Lord our God is with us.
Absolutely. That's a good verse. That's one of my favorites. In fact, I had just this past Sunday preached on that text, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, as a challenge for our listeners and a challenge for our members to recognize that God's still on the throne, and he has promised to strengthen us, to encourage us, and to meet the need. I'm thankful for that. But Congressman, for the benefit of our listeners that may not know, most, just as those that voted for $15 an hour wage in the state of Florida, they were gleefully voting for Joe Biden because he said he would raise the federal minimum wage to $15. Just as you said, it will not be blanketing across the nation. Many did not realize that. But a $15 wage will put each person in a different income category, which would mean more taxation. And with those wages, this is the way I've calculated it and I've explained it to others. A loaf of bread will cost you more. A gallon of gas is going to cost you more. The repairs on your home will cost you more. Everything that you buy, everything that you do is going to cost you more. And it's going to leave net income in the pocket for the average individual less than before the minimum wage went up, before that wage went to an astronomical figure. Companies, rather than hiring people at 40 hours work week, they'll hire two at 20 hours each. Therefore, they don't have to pay for health coverage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what you'd call benefit package. And it will reduce the benefits for the average worker dramatically. And then on top of that, Congressman, what our listeners need to understand, under a Biden administration, with millions of those coming in that will flood the labor market. It will lower, it will force lower the income for the average worker rather than increasing it, because the incoming illegals that are coming in, companies, giant companies, these box stores and giant corporations, they welcome that simply because they can get cheap labor. Talk to us about that for a moment as to the devastation that it will be in that realm, and whether or not it's a good move for us to have a president that will basically open the borders and say, come on in.
Well, as you know, Dr. Youngblood, there is currently a massive horde of people, an invading mob that's coming from Honduras towards our borders right now.
Yes.
And they're headed this way because they have been told that Joe Biden will let them in. And the thing is that they don't just walk those hundreds, those thousands of miles. They're being bussed in.
Yes.
The Mexican government, the Honduras government, will put them on buses and move them up to our border. Now, with President Trump, they had to wait on the Mexican side as they sought asylum into America. And oftentimes, a lot of them would just go back. They would turn around and just head back home. In fact, they were bussed back home. But now, with Biden promising to let them in, they're coming here, and so they're going to come in by the thousands. I think they said there's like a horde of 7,000 are headed this way now, who, by the way, it's not like they're escaping abject poverty, because when you see pictures, videos of these people who are coming, they have brand new backpacks. They have brand new tennis shoes. They have cell phones. Their clothes don't look worn and tattered. They're simply right. coming here because of the promise of someone taking care of them, that they're going to have free health care, they're going to have free education, that they're being promised a certain wage that they can earn if they get to work. But that's going to be the problem. The work won't be here because businesses won't be able to hire you. So you're right, those big box stores can hire them, they can afford it, but it is going to squash competition. The mom and pop stores won't be able to afford it. So these big box stores can, they're going to hire a number of people, but because it has increased their labor cost, it is going to cause everything to go up. Things in Walmart are going to be as inexpensive as they are now. It's going to force those prices to go up. But the amazing thing about all this, Dr. Youngblood, is if, for example, I'm a small business owner, I have a business. Let's say that a young man comes to me and he says, hey, I want a job and I'm willing to work for $11 an hour. Will you please hire me? Even if I wanted to, even if we both agree to that, it's a private business transaction. If I were to hire that person for $11 an hour, we would both be committing a crime.
That's right.
And could go to jail, which is amazing. That government is dictating the means of production to a private business. That's called socialism. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work.
That's exactly true. And I'm looking at an article, Congressman, says Bernie Sanders just revealed his plan to enact full socialism under the Biden's presidency. Bernie Sanders wants to bring socialism to America, this article says. He is hoping to use Joe Biden in the White House to achieve that. He has just revealed his plan to enact socialism under the Biden's presidency. For decades, Bernie Sanders has been screaming for socialism. And previously, he was looked at as a crazy senator from Vermont, but they will never be able to achieve that plan. But in the current political climate, he continues to be looked at as a serious figure. And even without him at the White House, he is hoping to use Joe Biden as the vehicle to get the agenda implemented in America. Speaking to CBS Late Show, he spoke about how he will use the coronavirus bill to enact his agenda. Sanders said, quote, my first priority is to work on comprehensive reconciliation bill, and I'm going to make that reconciliation bill as bold and as aggressive as possible. He says socialism and communism, this article says in conclusion, socialism and communism have killed hundreds of millions of people, and the United States has fought against it time and time again. Yet the left hopes to bring it here from the inside out, with Bernie Sanders being their top fighter for socialism. We're looking at a bleak future, as Joe Biden himself used the term, dark days are ahead of us. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that it's perilous times. And the word perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. If you'd like to ask the congressman a question or join in the dialogue and discussion, feel free to do so, 831-0917. Congressman, let's make a switch now. We've been looking at the windshield as to where we're going. Let's look in the mirror and see where we've been. Speak to us and to our audience today about some of the major accomplishments that President Trump has done for America, and how we ought to, as Christians, pray that they'll be left intact. What are some of the key things that comes to your mind that the world has been made better, America's been made better, as a result of 4 years of President Donald J. Trump?
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. I received some correspondence from the White House that listed Trump administration accomplishments. And one of those was an unprecedented economic boom. America gained more than 7 million jobs during the 4 years that President Trump was in office. And that was more than three times the government experts' projections. The middle class family income increased nearly $6,000. The unemployment rate reached 3.5%, the lowest in a half century. There were 40 months in a row with more job openings than job hirings. And more Americans reported being employed than ever before, nearly 160 million. Jobless claims hit a nearly 50-year low. The economic boom that we saw because of the implementations that President Trump did in terms of reducing unnecessary regulations, reducing taxes, it has been proven through history that whenever that is done, it causes an economic boom. And that is exactly what it did. Thousands of pages of unnecessary regulations were removed by the Trump administration, which allow businesses to start, to grow, and to prosper without that heavy government burden that was on them. He reduced the capital gains tax. It was the highest in the world at one time, at over 30%. He reduced it down to 20%. And when you stop taxing capital gains, the means of production, that allows businesses to produce even more. So what the left doesn't understand about economics, they think that spending stimulates an economy. And that's why they want to give you checks and just give you money and so forth, which, by the way, is your own money. Mm-hmm. It was just taken from you first, and now they're giving it back to you.
So
it is not spending that stimulates an economy. It is production that stimulates an economy. And when you reduce taxes on capital gains, when you reduce taxes on the means of production, that's when production can increase, and that's when the economy is stimulated, and you see the economic boom that we are in now. That's just one area when we talk about the economics and reducing those taxes and those regulations.
What did President Trump do that is of such a, to me, is such a great treasure for the Christian, for the conservative? And what did he do that is so beneficial for the Middle East and for Israel in particular? And how does that fit into God's word and God's plan for us to look back at and treasure so much of what God was able to do through President Trump for America?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, he moved the capital in Israel back to Jerusalem, moved it to the U.S. Embassy. He moved it to the capital, Jerusalem. He allowed the Golan Heights, which rightfully belong to nation Israel, to name it theirs again.
Yes.
He is allowing the building in the West Bank of Israeli homes. In other words, he is fulfilling the prophecy that wherever Israel's feet were to trod, that would become their land. He is restoring the land that rightfully belongs to Israel.
Absolutely.
And what that means to the church, the body, I'm not talking about the church that you we see today in many parts of America, such as the apostate Methodist Church and others. I'm talking about the church, the body of the of Christ, the living stones. What that has done to the church, the body of Christ, is to let us know, let us recognize that God is in control.
And amen.
What used President Trump for was to implement a number of things that are biblically based. And what that tells us is that we are getting very close, I believe, Dr. Youngblood. You know, the Bible says he's coming back soon. And
yes.
I believe Jesus is coming back soon, just like his word said. And that what we are seeing in place in Jerusalem is the beginnings of those things that have to be in place for the second coming.
That's right. Absolutely. And also, not just from the standpoint of what he's done for Israel, but the recognition biblically that for the nation that blesses Israel, God's going to bless. And I believe, and this is just Youngblood theology, but I believe it's foundational in the scripture, that I believe with a Biden administration turning its back on Israel and the Jewish people, I believe we will encounter the curse of God on America as a result of that. I shudder the thought, but I believe God will use that as a judgment against America in doing so. But another thing, Congressman, speak to us about what President Trump was able to do with the judiciary in America, with the Supreme Court and with the appeals courts and with the federal judges. Speak to that, because that gives us hope for the judiciary system in the future, even beyond Trump administration.
Yes, what President Trump was able to do was to appoint a record number of federal judges and of course, on the Supreme Court, three what we hope are going to be conservative judges. I'll have to admit that I was severely disappointed when they refused to take up the fraud that we saw happening with this election. That was a great disappointment to me. But hopefully we're going to have a Supreme Court that is conservative-leaning right now that will prevent a number of things that the Biden administration is going to try to implement, that as they try to implement things that are clearly unconstitutional, that they'll be challenged, and that the Supreme Court is going to act as that third arm of our government, that they're going to fulfill their responsibility and turn back a number of those socialist movement things that go against our Constitution. Our Constitution is based on a nation of free individuals, not coercion from the government demanding and dictating what we are going to and must have to do. So not only at the Supreme Court level, as you mentioned, at the federal court levels, he has appointed a record number of conservative judges that hopefully are going to be the stopgap to prevent a lot of the socialist movement that this administration wants to do.
In fact, I'm looking at a document that says, I believe it was almost 250 federal judges. And as you said, with the three Supreme Court justices that are professing conservatives, if nothing else. Looking at what President Trump has done in the past 4 years, how would you sum that up for our listeners as to where we are in America today and the view through the windshield as to where we're going? And how should we, as Francis Schaeffer said so often, how should we then live in these days that are before us? Because President Biden has said prior to the inauguration, his swearing in, that he was going to do at least 10 or 11 executive orders today. And part of that was the move that he's going to make on his first day, he said, enforcing restroom choices. I'm looking at a large article, welcoming all illegal immigrants, rejoining the Paris Climate Pact, leveling the travel ban, lifting the travel ban of the jihadist Islamics from around the world, opening vaccination centers. And he said that he's going to have a 100-day mask mandate, and he's going to push for the vaccination of every human being, whether you want it or not. So we've got about a minute and a half left on the broadcast. Take this time, Congressman, and speak to that very succinctly, and then a transition to challenge our listeners to continue to place our faith and hope and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Yes, where President Trump has left us is at a position where the United States needs to be, and that's the position of prominence. We have the strongest military in the world right now. We have the strongest economy in the world right now. And we are at a point where we are launched to, or in a position to be launched into even more greatness. And with Biden trying to stop that, for whatever reason, I don't understand why you want to stop this tremendous growth that we have seen. Let me take that back, Dr. Youngblood, I do know. The United yeah. States was placed in a position of prominence so that it can fulfill its destiny of preaching the gospel to a lost world. And this administration coming in is against the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why they want to stop it. Just like Obama was against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why they want to stop it. But I want to share this with your listeners, Dr. Youngblood, as Christians, as believers of the living God and in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the right, the ability, and the authority because of Jesus to eat from the tree of life. On the tree of life is the fruit of the Spirit. And so at any time, we can partake of the fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. Biden can do whatever he wants. As Christians, we can always eat of the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen. Well said. That's a great conclusion to challenge our listeners. Depend on God. Focus on Jesus. Allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Master in our lives. Congressman, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Located 1/2 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.